Hello and welcome. It's hour number two of our radio program. It's a big day in sports talk radio, the NFL draft, an event we spend months obsessing about, and then it's here and gone in a couple of days. Well, round one was held on Thursday night in my honor for my birthday. What do we make, though? Not of the draft, of the Tim Tebow news. Tebow Mania is back. It's like a throwback show to 2011 or 2010. Tim Tebow and his comeback attempt in Jacksonville. And if it doesn't happen in Jacksonville, we'll spin the Maller wheel of speculation on where Tim Tebow could end up next. We'll get to that and more. It's all coming your way right now. Hour number two. Don't call it a comeback. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we speak in circles and squares, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR. Emanating live from inside your eardrums, providing you with marginal sports talk radio all night long until the roosters come out here on the powerful microphones of Fox Sports Radio. And good to have you along. And so we continue our in-depth team coverage of all things football. And again, a story that is not directly related to the big marquee event, the NFL draft, but it's a story that came out the day of the NFL draft that took a lot of the attention away. Our lead coming from Jacksonville, but not Trevor Lawrence, who was the number one overall pick. It was not that at all. This is actually about another quarterback who's apparently now not a quarterback. We're talking about the sensation of Tebow Nation. Tim Tebow, the man, the myth, the legend. He's back! I don't know if you saw this. Possibly not. Maybe you just turned on the radio and you've been out of the loop, but we have learned that the former quarterback for multiple teams, guy won a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Tim Tebow did. Threw a big touchdown pass. Tim Tebow is attempting to make a return to the league. He would like to play in his own stomping grounds, his old stomping grounds in Jacksonville. That's where he's from, with the hometown Jags. Now, Tebow recently had a secret workout. Yeah, a secret workout with Jacksonville, but not as a quarterback, as a tight end. And from what we're hearing, it went pretty well, but we don't know quite how well. He had initially reached out. He was the one that initiated the contact, not the other way around. He requested a tryout, and Jacksonville said, okay. What would happen if you called the team up and said, you know, I'd like to try out. I think I could play tight end for you. Click. They wouldn't even answer your call. All right, the question. Let us discuss the question. What do you make of Tim Tebow and this reported comeback in Jacksonville? So my thoughts on this, you've got a Crazy Ivan, Svengali, and Cloak and Dagger. And we put all these things together and we'll cook them for about 10 minutes. Now, A, Tim Tebow, who has been in the last couple of months out of sight, out of mind. Is that a fair statement to make? I believe it is. Last we heard about Tim Tebow, he had retired from a failed baseball career. He was terrible at baseball, and he finally gave that up. That was back in February, and we figured that this was a na-na-na-na, hey-hey, goodbye situation. Well, it turns out that's not the case. We thought it would be upward and onward into the next chapter. Tebow's now a married man, which I assume means he's no longer a virgin. He married a Miss Universe. And so you assume the position that Tebow would simply settle into the pretty boy life of washed-up athlete on the boob tube. But no. No, no, no. Tebow has decided to pivot. We call this a Crazy Ivan. He has pulled the Crazy Ivan, the unexpected and radical change in direction from retired athlete to, hey, I want back in, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. He's looking to swashbuckle his way back in to the spotlight. And since we know Tebow, certain way he approaches life, we'll call this the resurrection for Tim Tebow's football career. Now, one of those Disney-esque type feel-good stories. Failed quarterback turns failed baseball player, but star tight end leads his hometown team, Jacksonville's Jags, all the way to the championship. Whee! And the crowd goes wild. Now, keep in mind that Tim Tebow was so bullheaded. How bullheaded was he? He was so bullheaded that he had refused to become a tight end. There were many people who were getting on the bully pulpit and saying, we want Tebow as a tight end. He's not a quarterback, but boy, he'd be a great tight end. Right? People were telling him this, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he closed his eyes and said, no, 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 no. Just like that. That was over a decade ago that was going on. Here we are, and now suddenly that's a good idea. Now, part B of this, Tim Tebow has the odds stacked against him. If he was a normal human being, you would say this is not going to happen. Because if you weigh, it's like the scales of justice. You weigh the positives and the negatives. On the face of things, the deck of cards is stacked against Tim Tebow. Right? I mean, it just is. Because Tebow's 33. He's past his athletic prime. It's a young man's game. And while 33 is young in the game of life, in the game of sports, it's not so much. He's been a baseball player. There's a lot of rust. Tebow last played real football in 2012. That's close to a decade. It's almost a decade since Tim Tebow was a good, not even good, but a player. So a little old to start over in that profession. And as a member of the Jets in 2012, he was in 12 games. Since then, he had auditions with the Patriots, didn't make the team. Had an audition with the Eagles, didn't make the team. Couldn't make it. And then he played baseball from 2016 to 2019. He was riding the buses in the minor leagues and striking out at a high rate and not hitting. But he did become, at least the good thing for Tebow is he was the alternative Mets mascot. Instead of Mr. Met during spring training, they had Tim Tebow. But as far as the tight end position, this is uncharted territory. We all know Tim Tebow never played tight end in the NFL. To our knowledge, he hadn't played tight end ever. So those are all the black marks against him. Now, the two feathers in Tim Tebow's cap, he's actually got three. The main ones are the Svengali and nepotism. And do not underestimate either one of these. Tim Tebow can mesmerize and hypnotize those that watch him. It's the Svengali effect. He's got mind control. Yes, he does. Don't shake your head. No, he's got, yes, shake your head. Yes, he's got mind control. Also, reading the room, the kinship between Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer is real. Tim Tebow's success cemented Urban Meyer as a legit big-time coach. Urban Meyer was skyrocketing up the coaching ranks. We used to have him on. This is how low Urban Meyer was on the coaching totem pole. When he was at Utah, we had Urban on. I was doing a college football show on Saturdays with our guy, Chris Landry, the old Fox football scout. And we had Urban Meyer on multiple times. And then he was like up for the Notre Dame job. He didn't get that. He went to Florida. But the thing that really pushed him over the top was the fact that they became a juggernaut at Florida with a bunch of hoodlums and despicable characters, but they also had Tim Tebow, and the championships that they won with Tebow and the Heisman and all that, that cemented Urban Meyer. So it's one of these cases, if you scratch my back, I'm going to scratch your back. It's that kind of situation. Now, as far as the football player part of it, Tim Tebow has the size. We think he's got the agility, 6'3", like 250, something like that. But you do have to have those breadbasket hands unless you're just going to be a blocking tight end. And from what I'm hearing now, Tebow wants to be the Peyton Hillis of Jacksonville if he does end up in Jacksonville. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. He wants to be a gadget player. Tim Tebow's now embracing being a gadget player. Also, the other feather in Tebow's cap here. And again, I think there's more negatives than positives, but if you want to give the full picture, he's got in the positive category, Svengali effect, nepotism, and also the other feather in his cap is he's a star. He's an above the head, the marquee star. He's a headliner. He creates attention. And as a publicity stunt, you would say, why not? And this is the entertainment business. Now, there is a fine line. It's like threading a needle. The NFL crossed that line in the draft with some of the fugazi things that they did. We'll talk more about that coming up. But the last word here on Tebow. To me, the most intriguing part of this story is the cloak and dagger way that it's gone down. Able to keep this workout hush-hush in the age of social media. Pretty impressive, right? This story has been embargoed. We think it came out on draft day to get full effect, and then poor Tim Tebow, Aaron Rodgers said, hey, hold my beer. I'm going to wipe this story completely off the face of the earth. But in this social media age where everything is in your face, right? I mean, it's just boom, right there in your face. This is a rare occurrence. So what happens next? I'm glad you asked. Now, here's what I anticipate is going to happen because Urban Meyer is grateful. That's the word I use. Grateful to what Tim Tebow did for him.
Urban Meyer!
Yeah. All right. So we anticipate that Jacksonville will offer Tim Tebow an off-season training camp type contract. Take a flyer on Tim Tebow. Allow him to show that he can be a gargoyle of a tight end and then evaluate whether or not he's actually good enough to make the team. Of course, that's the nature of the beast. If not Jacksonville, though, if you want to spin the Maller wheel of speculation, if not Jacksonville, where, oh, where, oh, where, oh, where will he land? Round and round. Big money, big money, big money. No whammy. Stop.
Ooh.
Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys. If you think of a carnival barker, a guy that chews on cigars like a boxing promoter back in the old days, Jerry Jones. There's no better star effort in all of sports than Jerry Jones. If Tebow doesn't get the offer from Jacksonville, I can see Dallas calling, saying, hey, what about the Cowboys? How would you like to wear that star? Come down to Dallas, Tim. Hang out with us. It is the Ben Maller Show. As we press on, it's a big day. It's in the middle of the NFL draft. We've been through one round. Two more days of draft activity to look forward to. And we can only imagine the kind of bullcrap that will come up on the NFL draft on a Friday and a Saturday. Will it be able to match what took place on Thursday? My goodness. I was like, what? I guess I'm becoming that guy, but I don't want to be that guy. But I was like, whoa, this is brutal. This is painful. Right. If you would like to be part of the show, 877-99 on Fox. This is the show by the people, for the people, plausibly all about the people, and you are the people. Well, you're actually a person, but you're part of the bigger crowd. I'm not going to allow you to sit in my chair like Roger Goodell, but you can call up. 877-996-6369. We will pay off. I tease the hot mama story. Why don't we just do that right now? I don't want to tease any more on that. So one of the things to come out of the NFL draft, the number two pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets taking Zach Wilson. And they showed Zach very excited, having a moment as he was picked number two. He had the big smile there, the million-dollar smile, holding up that ugly green J-E-T-S suck jersey, and becoming the highest drafted quarterback for that franchise since Joe Namath in the 1960s. But that's not what people were talking about. It's hot mama drama for Zach Wilson because some horn dog fans watching the draft intently, their attention was fully focused on Zach Wilson's mom, who was doing pretty well for herself. She's a lovely lady, and my apologies to her, but she became a viral sensation. She very proud, doting mother, right? Very proud of her son there being drafted in the NFL, and there she was. She had this kind of cheetah print jacket on, and people were very impressed by it. I don't know what I can add to that. I mean, she's a good-looking woman. Good for her. But that's the way it works, man. They were all about that. This reminds me, there's a couple years ago, there was another, this situation happens every couple years in the draft, whereas like a mom gets shown on TV. Who was the last? I'm trying to remember the last pick.
Luka Doncic.
NBA. Yeah, but wasn't there a football one? There was another quarterback whose mom got a lot of attention a couple years ago. Yeah, Luka Doncic is a good one. Well, put the reality. I mean, these guys. A lot of these guys are in the NBA. You're making it when these guys are 19 years old when they get to the NBA, or 18, 19, something like that. So, but anyway. Hot mama drama. So, and knowing the tabloids in New York, we're going to be hearing a lot about Zach Wilson's mom going forward.
She showed me your boobies.
Well, she was covered up. It was a family. It was a family show, Eddie. I know you wanted to see the boobies. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. We will press on here. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. A case of neighborly love. Neighborly love. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Blair, keep interrupting my early morning calls Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you do, I'm going to punch you right in the eye and scroll right into your fist and to your stomach all over the place. You keep interrupting me, some guys are going to block you like Dick Mutombo.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow the man that some refer to as the call screener. He is the executive producer of this show. He is the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. He is answering the phones. It's the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan. And he will have Coop Scoop on Entertainment coming up in the final hour. Now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Rob in Vegas says hopefully this time around Tim Tebow can rub off on Judas Meyer. Because we sure as hell don't need any more of his players committing murder and Urban turning a blind eye to it. There you go. Shout out Aaron Hernandez. Bam Bam Cam says, here we go, Ben. How the hell did I know when that wheel quit spinning, you were going to say the Dallas Cowboys? The Maller Wheel of Speculation, bring in Tim Tebow for the circus. Stop putting that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. He points out. There you go. Alf, the alien opiner, says, is New York the new cougar town? The cougars are coming! The cougars are coming! That's got to be the greatest advertiser. I mean, we had many great advertisers here at Fox Sports Radio over the years, but if you were listening back in those years, we had a cougar dating website that was a big advertiser, and their commercials were so over the top. They had a jingle. I bet we have it in the system still because nothing really goes away that much, but it was the Cougars are coming, the Cougars are coming. It was like a song. It was hilarious. And boy, did we have fun with that.
And the let's website go to the still exists. I just checked.
Oh, is it still around, yeah. The dating website? Yeah. Oh, it was great. That was so good.
The Cougars are coming.
Yeah, that was the commercial. Good job. Who found that? That's outstanding.
Me, I did.
Good job, Roberto. Wow, play that again. I haven't heard that in years. Play that again.
The Cougars are coming. Hold the line.
What a cheese ball commercial. Oh, my God. Oh, that's great. Well, there you go. So Zach Wilson, his mom, I think she's, they're still married, right? I don't think she's a single woman, but advertising, endorsement deals. Why not? All right, let's go to the phones and let's say hello to a very popular punching bag for the joke writers lately, Sir Scratch Off. Hello, Sir Scratch Off, on the highways and byways of Arkansas.
Hey, how's my Ben Maller doing?
Well, listen, the Rams had a great draft. They looked really good in Malibu, from what I understand. Not that they had any picks, but...
Ain't that crazy? Yeah. I got to watch it all the way to 19th, and then I had to leave on my route. But dude, you'd act like the Rams, like we got a new Super Bowl we're going to win every year, you know. But, hey, Roberto...
Well, the great news for the Rams... Now, so scratch off. The great news for the Rams is they actually did make headlines. I guess Les Snead, the GM, tested positive for the COVID. So... He's being quarantined. Now, you know, normally that would be a big deal, but the Rams don't have any picks, so who cares?
Yeah, Ben, I tell you what's crazy. Got my St. Louis Blues howling a little butt. They've been playing good. I've been talking to Eddie on Messenger. Got my St. Louis Cardinals, man. They playing good. I mean, if I can get my Tennessee Vols football team to play good this year, I'll be all good. I mean, it's all working out for the Rams. If we get the quarterback, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was I was talking to Coop off the air before the show. I said, I hope we can work in some St. Louis Blues talk on the show tonight, and we've done it. So that's good. We've accomplished that.
You're so full of crap.
I don't know what you're talking about. Now, are you honored to scratch off that the joke writers, the unpaid, underappreciated joke writers, have turned their attention in part to you? Are you honored by this? I mean, they're taking their shots at you now.
I don't care, Ben. I want to tell you something. Hey, Roberto, you still love me out there? That was racist against me. I'm white, dude, and I just didn't mean nothing by that. Hey, Ben.
No, I learned. I got in trouble a few years ago.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a Jewish guy, and I made a joke, and I got in trouble for it, even though I'm Jewish. It was a
racist.
Jewish joke, and I got in trouble for it.
I got a buddy that was a Jew. And
Eddie, that's the equivalent of having a black friend. When you have the buddy that's a Jew, it's very exciting.
How did he stop being a Jew?
Converted.
Yeah, when he died, that he always, you know, Jew, they always put all the money in his casket, all the people comes by. Well, somebody went over and wrote a check and got all the change, put the check in there.
But
wow.
I don't know.
Did you write that yourself? Did you write that
jokes
yourself?
Coming up later on the night.
No. Hey, I got to say something, though, right now.
Yeah.
Chris in Houston, if you're out there listening to me, you know you're one of my favorite five callers. And I want you to do me a big favor. I've already had my birthday. Oh, matter of fact, Ben, I got something for you real quick. And then let me finish what I got on my other part there. But
well, hurry up. There's other people that want to talk. My God, you're bogarting the show.
I love Tim Tebow. He loves Jesus, and I love him. But I got something for you, Ben. I tried to call
you. Thank you, Jesus!
I had a bad storm last night. I was running in last night. Didn't get to call you. But I got my version of Chubby Checkers. Are you ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Ben Mallard. Sorry I'm late for you. But anyway.
That was actually pretty good. That's shocking. That wasn't
I've been
terrible.
Doing I've been doing it for years. Hey, I want to say something to you about what I said. Hey, Chris in Houston, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to run down there and I'll get old Charlie, and I want you to tie him up to his desk and stand him on his head, and I'm going to come down and use his butt cheeks for my credit card.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm so glad we got that on.
What?
Yes. What a perfect phone call.
So give him a credit card check.
St. Louis Blues and then credit card. Took his jokes. That's outstanding. I don't know why, Eddie, people say this is a lowbrow show. I don't understand why they would say that about this show.
It's the exact opposite.
Credit card check.
Exact opposite.
Well, this is junior high school radio. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. Sir Scratchoff, he's older than I am. I mean, my God.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
I did want to go off script. Not that this is scripted. But the podcast, the fifth hour, will be up later today. If you're an old school baseball fan, remember the name Dave Parker. He was amazing. He was a great player. He won an MVP award in the National League, took a couple of World Series, and played with – he was a wonderful guy, but he played with the Pirates when they were really good back in like the – Willie Stargell era of Pirates baseball, won a championship, 1979, We Are Family, won a title with Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire as his teammates. in Oakland.
How's he doing, Ben? I know he has an illness.
Yeah, he's got Parkinson's. We talked about it, and he's doing very well. You know, I give Dave credit. I mean, Dave had – I told him this in the interview here, but he had so much swagger. I love watching him play. When I was a kid, he played with the Angels at the end of his career, and I remember being in awe. He was in the on-deck circle, and he would swing the sledgehammer. Remember the sledgehammer?
I do.
Yeah, and I always thought that was like the cool, like a superhero, like he was Thor, swinging the sledgehammer and all that. But it was pretty cool. He's got a new book out, so we were talking about that. But I mean, he went in. We touched on the Pittsburgh drug trials, Eddie. We went into there. We went third rail, my man. Third rail. And so anyway, that'll be available later today. Fifth Hour podcast. If you subscribe to the Ben Maller Show podcast, you'd get that as well as an added bonus. You'll get that as well. All right, let's see here. What do we have? Now, the neighborly love. This does relate to the Tim Tebow story. So we began the hour with a Maller monologue. Tim Tebow worked out for Jacksonville, tried out for Jacksonville, auditioned, however you want to say it. Did you know that the same time that story came out, a separate story came out where Urban Meyer, well, he just purchased a new home. You want to guess who one of Urban Meyer's neighbors is?
Ding, ding, Tim Tebow?
Yes. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Urban Meyer has purchased a home. I guess it's a fixer-upper home. It's $2.1 million. It's a mansion. and his neighbor is Tim Tebow. So that would be awkward if Urban doesn't offer Tebow a job and they're hanging out in the neighborhood having a barbecue and doing what neighbors do and all that. Isn't John Gruden neighbors with Carr? In Vegas?
I believe so,
yes,
yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. We're I'm not neighbors with you, Eddie, and I'm not neighbors with Roberto, and I'm not neighbors with Coop. We all live in separate parts of town. We're not like next to each other. So there you go. South Jacksonville. Glen Kernan Golf and Country Club. You familiar with Jacksonville? You've been to Jacksonville, right, Eddie?
No, I have not. I did not go to that Super Bowl.
Oh, you did not?
No. Where we had somebody get punched in the face. Remember that?
Oh, yes. Fox Sports Radio. It'll be in my tell-all book someday, Eddie. It'll be there. I can't wait for that. So Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow are neighbors. Aren't they? The best neighbors are walls. Isn't that what the saying goes? Something like that, right? All right. Let's go to the phones. We were going to go to Jed Who Fled, but he hung up. So we've all been saved by Jed Who Fled hanging up. Let's go to Dominican Mike. Who is, I think he's back in Florida. Hello, Dominican Mike. What's going on, man?
Hey, dímelo, Benny. ¿Qué pasó, papa? What's going on, papi? Dímelo. ¿Qué lo que?
Living large. I'm overloading on pigskin here. It's all you can handle all night long.
For sure. I'm actually back in Phoenix. I got here on Tuesday, so I'm a lot more awake now.
And your arms are tired. You just go back and forth, man. You're like a long-haul truck driver going back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have a great lifestyle that my job allows me to do that. And I'll tell you what I'm doing next week, but, man.
I like that you're waiting till, that's a tease. You're teasing till next week.
My bad. I apologize. I'm telling you where I'm going to be going next week.
Oh, okay.
And later in the phone call. My bad.
All right. I'm going to guess you're going to Vegas.
No, negative.
No. All right. Los Angeles.
No, I won't be. I want to go to LA, but I haven't been there in a minute because it's still shut down. So I'm not going there. So,
well, it's not as shut down, but it is compared to like most other normal places. It is shut down. So yes.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, anyways, I saw the news about the Dave Park and the Cobra, and I know I'm a few years younger than you, man. But I did grow up. You know, I'm a baseball nerd, and I grew up watching. You know, the Cobra. You know, Dave Park with the A's and the Angels. I do not remember him with the Pirates, of course, but. You know, I'm looking forward to hearing that podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it was great. And he explained how he got the Cobra nickname, which I told him, that's one of the great nicknames in sports, the Cobra. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
It's
he should be in the Hall of Fame. Like I said, I got to see him at the end of his career, but he was pretty awesome, though.
Yeah. So. Well, I agree. I mean, I think the most, you know, his numbers were, you know, he didn't hit the 500 home run mark, the usual benchmarks. But as far as dominance, like to me, he checked all the boxes. He won an MVP award. He was... Mm-hmm. The World Series is the last criteria, but he was an all-star like seven times. He was a great defensive player. And to tell that era of baseball where he played in, you have to really mention Dave Parker's name or you're not doing a proper justice to that era. So to me, he's a Hall of Famer, but he was part of the Pittsburgh drug trials. And as he he'll point out in the interview. I mean, that was in an era when everyone was doing the cocaine, and he was joining the clubs.
It happens.
Yeah, you wouldn't know about that, Dominican
Mike. I wouldn't know it, actually. Anyway, hey, that lady, by the way, she's pretty hot, but she's a Mormon, though. So.
She's not hot because she's Mormon. I mean, what was that? What does that mean? Come on, man.
Racist.
They don't sin like we do. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't know if I would say that.
Yeah, I mean, how about this? The perception, their publicity is pretty good that they don't do anything bad. But I'm guessing there's jails in Utah and there's Mormons in the jails, right? And people get in trouble and
And not that I know anything about this, but former Mormons, that's where it's at.
I made
quite wild. A few of them myself. Just a lot of them here in Gilbert.
Fond memories,
you know, Gilbert, Arizona.
No comment.
Coop is 100% right, by the way. Coop is 100% right.
That the former Mormons.
No,
you guys are going to get me in trouble now. How dare you?
No, I was very close friends with a Mormon family when I was growing up, and they have a lot of kids, and some of the daughters, they were very friendly.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm just saying.
I guess I missed out. I didn't have this experience in my younger days.
Mormons.
I did not know enough kind Mormon people. All right. Thank you. I got to go.
Thank you, Jesus!
Boy, what an hour. We've had St. Louis Blues talk and now former Mormon talk. It's outstanding.
But Cougars are coming.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And Zach Wilson's mom. We have Maller to the third degree warming up. Right now, it's the Insta Trivia. 1980 was the year. A big headline in the paper in Connecticut called Blank, a neat experiment that has since become a staple of American sports. This was in 1980. Big newspaper headline in Connecticut calling blank. It was a neat experiment, but since then it has become a staple of American sport. Rather vague, intentionally. That's the Insta Trivia, the answer. We'll get to that and Mallard of the Third Degree next.
He did ask a young teenage ball girl to peel his banana.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
With Maller to the third degree warming up, time now for the Insta Trivia. So in 1980, a headline, newspaper in Connecticut, called Blank, a neat experiment that has since become a staple of American sport. That is the question. Fill in the blank. And Matt in Indy says it's Zach Wilson's mom. Big Rig Rob going with cold hot dogs and warm beer as his answer. Trucker Joe says Roger Rabbit. Food picks with Marcel from Jacob from Japan. That's his answer. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, says the three-point shot in the NBA. It's actually a pretty good guess. Hobby Bobby going with the designated hitter. Chris in Des Moines says, what is a ball washing machine? He says there. Who else do we have? Giants infielder Wilmer Flores is the answer from Jay Scoop. Late night drug tester says the New York Jets trying to play football. Christopher the Custodian's going with steroids. Steroids is his answer. Fantasy football from just Josh. the refrigerator Perry experience, guessed by Manic Mike. Secretariat from Justin in Cincinnati. Do you have an answer, Eddie?
Yeah, was it ESPN?
No, I mean, you're close, but not quite.
NFL draft coverage?
Yes. That was the first. This is an amazing factoid I saw. That was the first year the NFL draft was televised. The first ever telecast was in April 29th, 1980 by ESPN. The draft was 12 rounds. This was Billy Sims was the number one pick by the Lions. He had won the Heisman earlier. The draft was held at the New York Sheraton Ballroom. You know when the draft started, Eddie?
6 a.m. or something?
8 a.m. in the East, 5 a.m. in the West. The draft, and it was, you know, all day and all that. And Mel Kiper didn't come around until 1984. And the reason the NFL draft's no longer 12 rounds? Because of television. It didn't make for a good television show. So they chopped down the draft and made it lean and mean to improve the product on television. Isn't that crazy, though? The draft was on a Tuesday at 8 in the morning, and now it's primetime Thursday, Friday, Saturday programming. What a juxtaposition. Now, granted, that was 40 years ago, but still. All right, here we go! Whee!
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
So Stan Van Gundy threw some shade at Bill Simmons on Wednesday after Simmons called Van Gundy the worst coach in the NBA on his podcast. Ben, was that an unfair assessment from Bill Simmons?
No, I like this take by Bill Simmons. Good take. We used to like Stan Van Gundy, the Ron Jeremy of coaches, but I'm tired of him. He's like this whole poor man, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich thing. And just from a basketball standpoint, Bill Simmons is right. It's malpractice that the Pelicans have a losing record. Zion Williamson is a total stud, and your old guy Ingram there, he's not too bad either. And both those guys have been putting up big numbers this year. New Orleans is 2-8 in games decided by 3 points or less, so that tells you they're not well coached. And they're 4-26 when trailing after three quarters. Those are telltale signs that team is lacking in the coaching department. Next.
So before the whole massage saga went down, there were, I believe, like 8 teams that were interested in a Deshaun Watson trade. Now, let's say that the two sides are working on a settlement, like we discussed. How many do you think will still be interested after that happens?
All right, so it's changed a little bit because of the draft, but you got to say Carolina because Sam Darnold's not very good. And the Bears, even though they drafted Justin Fields, Chicago's the killing field for quarterbacks. Washington, they would be on that list. And, heck, Green Bay could be on that list, depending on what happens with Aaron Rodgers. Deshaun Watson's not out of the woods, right? I mean, if he gets a settlement, he's still going to be suspended by the NFL. So I say he's stuck there in Houston until his suspension is over. Next!
So Pete Carroll spoke with the media before the draft, and he addressed all the Russell Wilson trade speculation. Carroll said, "I knew what the truth was. We weren't trading Russell." Ben, do you think it was never on the table?
No, of course. I mean, listen, you're human. You contemplate it in your head. You're like, this guy's not happy. He's malcontent. They're liars if they say otherwise. They're lying. The fact that both Pete Carroll and John Schneider, the GM, had to announce that everything is fine between them and Russell Wilson tells you everything is not fine. All right, how'd we do, Coop?
You pass this edition.
There it is. That's a winner. Put it in the book. Ding, 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 ding.